Good evening and welcome to San Antonio Soccer Roundtable. My name is Owen. I gotta do the intro. Hold on. Up to a rough start.
You ain't seen nobody like this. You ain't seen nobody like this. You hear my sound all over town singing. Whoa. Nobody like this. You ain't seen nobody like this. You hear my sound all over town singing. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You ain't seen nobody like this. You ain't seen nobody like this. You hear my sound all over town singing.
Take three. Good evening. Better to work out the bugs now than on Saturday at midnight or Sunday morning at midnight. I'm not sure what to call that. So I said Saturday night / Sunday morning because technically it's Sunday morning, but Saturday night for most people. For the Brechtology show upcoming. My name is Harry. Rafa? How are you? The high school season is coming to a quick end. Regular season's done as of yesterday, I think, for everybody. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard of any play-in matches along those lines here. So brackets are filling out as far as through the UIL and the show prep for the bracketology is going on. But how are you? And you doing your studying for Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm looking at some of the matchups already, and hopefully I can get another 80% like last year's. Kind of like with the taps. So, but it's interesting, like I said, that there are going to be some interesting matchups. But like I said, we're not going to get too much in the details. So if you want want the details, watch the show. So hit that like button, follow with us, and also 50/50. Tell a friend, like I said, be able to watch it. But we are going to start at midnight with 4A and then that Sunday afternoon with the other two classifications with 5A mm-hmm. and 6A.
And the reason why we're doing it at midnight, just to, for full disclosure, is we have San Antonio FC. All of us, I think, are going to the game or have season tickets to there. So we're going to be going to there when they play Colorado Springs, the Switchbacks. And then Coach Steve has games Sunday morning. Oh, and US is going to score here if you're watching through here. So I got the FOP mob alert. So US men's national team just got bailed out. so for Robert, who was on TV, he'll be happy. Mijo, he'll be happy. And the curse could possibly be lifted, I guess, right?
I don't know. I don't know. They still got another overtime, so an extra time. So you know how that goes.
It is Berhalter.
And yeah, tell that to Austin FC too.
Well, it's the Austin fans are just want Wolf out, period. And they expressed their frustration when Austin FC front office went to the U.S. Open Cup match because, Austin FC is scared of San Antonio or playing in there. So, quick recap of the standings here. We'll start with the ladies at 6A. New Braunfels, Steele, Judson, Clemen, your playoff qualifiers. New Braunfels, perfect-ish. Only one draw through the, through district here. Kind of high level, what's your thoughts on District 27, 6A for the ladies and Any possible sleepers for the bracketology?
There was kind of three favorites going into the season. I think the surprise is seeing Clemens, you know, finish fourth. I actually got to see them play earlier in the season. They, like I said, very good squad. And I thought it's like this team may do some surprise some teams in the playoffs. And I don't know if it's maybe injuries have caught up, you know, that's why they've struggled, or just sometimes you hit a bad stretch. But they got, like I said, they're going to have a tough matchup going against the number one seed for 26-6A, so which we'll get more into details on that. But you got to be surprised with Judson. Kudos to them to finish third. I don't think anybody saw that coming. Maybe they'd have competed for maybe the fourth spot, but, you know, kudos to them. And then Steele, good bounce back from the last season. Like I said, finished runner-up. And what you can say about New Braunfels, they played a really tough non-district schedule, and it paid off. Like I said, they would go undefeated in district play. They're going to be a very dangerous team in the first round. So whoever matches up in the first round, they're going to have a tough time against them.
Moving on to 28. Johnson did run the gauntlet 16-0. Reagan 13-2-1. Lee Volunteers 10-4-2. Madison got in kind of comfortably with the 9-5-2 as far as for the top four on there. Clark and Brandeis just couldn't ever close the gap against the top four.
Yeah, Johnson's been, like I said, the probably, you know, as far as maybe 6A top team. I mean, I'll be another teammate and say have a say on that, but you know, like I say, to go 16-0 in this district, that says a lot right there. Because you got some, like I said, you know, you got Reagan there, Lee, Madison, and, you know, Clark and Brandeis are no slouches either. So this is a very competitive district. Now, can Johnson, you know, after going through this, come in the second season, can they do the same thing? Can they make that run? Can they get by those Austin area teams and get to, you know, to the regional tournament and then go on to Georgetown? So I think they have a good opportunity. Reagan, like I said, great season for them too. Lee, like I said, saw them also earlier in the year. Had some struggles a little bit, but like I said, great season, you know, able to get that third spot. Then Madison kind of comfortably they're getting that fourth spot on the last playoffs.
And then District 29, Taft, 13-0-3. O'Connor only one loss, but five draws. Warren, 9-5-2. Brennan, 7-4-4. Sotomayor, to me, I thought, you know, an impressive 6-4-6. John Jay, 5-5-5. And then Harlan Stevens and Holmes. But I thought the top six in this were pretty even teams. I know Taft and O'Connor probably a slight step above. But, you know, you look at this division, the top six outside of Brennan, you know, have, you know, what, 12-plus wins. And, you know, and Brennan, like I said, you know, didn't play much of an off schedule based on max prep. So,
yeah, this, you know, the funny thing is, like, Taft kind of started slow with those ties.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it looked, you know, after having like a really good hot start in the, you know, in the pre-district season, and it didn't look well, but they finally kind of got things together, and they've just been on a roll. And what it can also say about O'Connor, you know, they struggled a little bit early on, but they, you know, they're able to turn around. Like I said, only one loss, that one loss has actually was to John Jay, you know, and then it was two ties against
that woke
Taft,
him up.
So, yeah, I think that kind of that was kind of a wake up call there. And they were on the roll too. Kudos also to Warren. I think they may be a little a dangerous team, you know, in the playoffs. And then Brennan, you know, last year they had a great season. Last year they made it to the regional tournament. And, you know, this year I'm sure they're a young team, but, you know, to be able to get back to the playoffs, I know they got a tough test coming up in the first round. And then Sotomayor, I really thought Sotomayor would probably challenge for that fourth spot. I think they just had some little, you know, tough breaks Maybe I think next year that's one of the teams maybe to look out. And then also the one that started well was John Jay. You know, we thought John Jay, hey, this could be the year for them, but kind of same thing, just unlucky breaks. But they'll be, like I mentioned, they'll be moving down to 5A, so they could be a surprise team down there. And then rounding out, you got Harlan, Stevens, and Holmes. Keep an eye on Harlan next year. I heard, you know, their JV team actually won the JV district title, so they'll have some talent, and they could be one of the challenge for the district title starting next year.
Yeah, I follow this one a lot closer just because my kids go to John Jay and Stevens. This district may not have the powerhouses of 28, but like I said, I just think from top to bottom, you know, from 7 through 1, they're just all so close, and the games are so competitive. And I'm sure probably over, you know, on the northeast side in 28, probably very similar with that here. But, you know, like I said, I went out to a few of these games and, like I said, very impressed with all the teams through here. Moving to 27, Clemens on the boys, 9-0-1. Steele, second runner-up on the boys' side as well, 6-1-3. New Braunfels, 6-4-2. And the surprise, San Marcos getting into that fourth slot. I know you know, early in the year you were on Judson bandwagon, but it unfortunately never got out of neutral there.
Yeah, I thought this year Judson would probably get that fourth spot. And like I said, maybe injuries, grade, something just didn't pan out for them. So kudos to San Marcos. But like I said, they got a tough test next Tuesday, but they actually get to host. So we'll talk more about that. But yeah, the really kudos is to Clemens. You know, Clemens, they challenged themselves, you know, early on in the season. They played some really tough, you know, state caliber teams in their, you know, there were district record, you know, like I said, before the start of district play, their record didn't reflect on it. They kind of look off.
They were 3-8.
Yeah, they were 3-8, but to go undefeated here, I think that was a good, you know, it was a good payoff for them because it's got them prepared, and they know that they have to play those type of teams, you know, coming up, not only in the first, you know, here on out. So they're going to be dangerous. You can't sleep on them. Steele too. I think Steele's has had a great season as well. I know last year they were young, but I think they had got some good experience this year. Same thing with New Braunfels. You know, struggled a little bit, but like I said, able to get that third spot. So, you know, but these are some good teams that, you know, 26 6A cannot, you know, take lightly, because like I said, they can be beaten at any time.
Moving to 28, boys. Johnson, 12-0-4. Brandeis coming on strong at the end, 11-2-3. Lee and Madison, 9-6-1. Reagan, I guess we have to talk about the collapse because, you know, prior 2 weeks ago they were in third at 7-3-6. They finished, and then Churchill, respectable, 7-6-3 for that here. But to me, I guess the story is Reagan falling out, you know, the last couple weeks of the playoff slot, right?
Yeah, and, you know, we kind of saw the scenarios and stuff, and, you know, everything was against Lee's. They had basically had to run the gauntlet, and
they did.
And they did. And, you know, those six ties that Reagan has, those came back to haunt them, you know. And, you know, if they get a win or two, you know, we're talking about them. I think they've just – it ended their 20-something year, or I think somewhere 17, 20-something year district streak, playoff streak. So that was a very surprising, you know. And it's funny that, you know, they lost and Madison lost, and, you know, and Madison was still able to get in with a loss. But Lee, you know, being the fifth-place team, they surged to third. And, you know, Coach Rogers has them peaking at the right time. Like I said, I have to see them play.
They're a young team too.
Yeah, they're a young team, but they're talented, and and I knew experience was going to be a factor. But you know, now at this end, this stage of the season, you know, they're, like I mentioned, they're peaking at the right time. So you know, whoever they're facing, they're up for a challenge, and I think they're going to face Steele. So Steel's got a challenge in this game. They cannot take them lightly, and but that's going to be a great game. Brandeis, great season. I know Coach Mayer's the final season, and a great run for them. They're going to be a dangerous team too. And then what do you say about Johnson to go undefeated, district title? High, like I said, high expectations there. You know, can they, you know, what they've done in this, you know, during the district run, can they, you know, emulate it here in the playoffs? And they, like I said, and see if they can get into the state tournament. And so they, it's going to be interesting coming, you know, in the playoff with the playoffs for these teams, how they do.
Yeah, tune in Sunday at 6, starting at 6 o'clock or approximately around there, when we do the 6A bracketology for both the boys and the girls for that year. Moving to 29, Harlan, but second full season, I think, maybe even third of undefeated play in district play, 13-0-3. Brennan, 11-2-2. John Jay, 10-3-2, although they slipped from second to third with the loss to Brennan this past week. Warren, once again, very solid, 10-5-1. Half 7-7-2. I have some friends that, you know, that are on the O'Connor team. 6-8-2, you know, kind of a disappointing year for them, especially for their history of soccer. Stevens with AJ next year, watch out. I'm just going to call it right now. And then Holmes and Sotomayor. So, you know, I've got to mention Stevens. So.
Yeah. What are you going to say about Harlan? Congrats to them. You know, winning another district title, you know, can they make another run, you know, to, you know, in the state tournament, you know, get to the regional tournament, you know, and we'll see what they can do. You know, they've been close a few times, you know, trying to get breakthrough. They're just kind of maybe feeling a game short, but, you know, they have a first round playoff with my old team. So they're in Hondo. Should be interesting game. If you need a scouting report, let me know. But and then Brennan, you know, Brennan was a surprise too. You know, last year I think they kind of snuck into the playoffs, and this year they did well. And it looked like they were going to challenge, you know, because they tied Harlan, you know, in the first round. But then they had a couple of slip ups. I think the game versus Taft. And then you just couldn't. They couldn't really recover back to get into the title picture. And then Jay too. Jay was in it. And then they've struggled. You know, these last few games, they're kind of limping in a little bit, but still can't take them lightly. And like I said, they also have a tough matchup. I think they're going against Laredo Alexander, and then Warren. Great season for them too. They also have a tough matchup against Laredo United. So it's. Like I said, 29, 6A has their hands full, you know, so they can't take any of those teams lightly from 36. But it's going to be some great games coming up.
No tipping things here. And 5A, we're going to do the 5A bracketology at 4 o'clock on Sunday. So starting out with the boys. Piper, what can you say? 14-0. Smithson Valley, 8-4-2. Bernie Champion, 7-4-3. Canyon 7-5-2 and Kerrville Tyvee 7-6-1, and even Vets Memorial at 6-6-2. Outside of Piper, this district was as close as you could be, you know, two through six.
Yeah, and it looked like Kerrville was gonna get in, and it just missed it by like a half a game there. And but kudos to Canyon, you know, they found a way, and then they got that fourth spot, but they got probably the toughest task in Leander Glenn, but never say never, anything can happen, you know. And and also a good bounce back for Bernie Champion, great season for them. Spencer Valley too, you know, finished runner up. But what can you say about Piper? You know, they've been on a roll, and they're going to probably be one of the dangerous teams here going into Region 4. And I know Glenn's kind of getting looked at in some of the Valley teams like Porter and Lopez and Donna North, but also include Southwest and Alma Heights. They're going to be very dangerous. They got a tough one. It's a rematch of a game they played at Alma Heights tournament. and against Cedar Park. So it'll be, it's going to be interesting, you know, how that one turns up. I'm sure Cedar Park's going to be ready for that game.
I think the U.S. just scored here. Oh, yeah. How'd you write? I think it's 14, right? How'd you write?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you write? So 3-1 to the United States. So they will defend their Nations League title for that here. Moving to District 27. Surprise. MacArthur, 42 points. Alamo Heights, 41 points. Lanier, Jefferson, 34, 32. And then Edison, Burbank, and Brackenridge. But I don't know anybody that had Alamo Heights not winning this district here. So congrats to the MacArthur Brahmas.
Yeah, what a season for MacArthur, you know. And we kind of knew that it was going to be, you know, one of those two teams, you know, going in. You know, even though Alamo Heights had, you know, was the favorite for that, for this district. But MacArthur's turned it up, and you know, they could be like one of those dark horses that can get to, you know, to the regional tournament down in Brownsville. So, they're going to be a very tough matchup. So they played in the first and the couple in the next rounds. Alamo Heights, like I said, great season too. You know, the only two losses they had as far as district, it was against MacArthur. And they're still a good team. They're still a dangerous team. You know, if they can kind of get things, together, you know, they can do some damage as well. And then you have Lanier. Lanier was able to get in. Same thing, Jeff. It looked like Jefferson was not going to get in, and they found a way in. And now that we thought Edison was going to. Yeah.
I just didn't see it with the points gap.
Yeah.
On there. And, you know, Jeff's one of those interesting teams depending on which team shows up. I hate saying that, but to me, they're a team that can beat, you know, one of the best, but then they can also look like, you know, hey, why are you even in the playoffs here, unfortunately? JJ Kilkin, you know, says, what top RGB teams are playing in the playoffs? I know, not to go into great detail, but, you know, if you were to pick, let's say, two 2-6A, 2-5A, and if you want to go 4A teams, you know, from boys and girls, you know, to watch out for the playoffs before we get into the bracketology.
Sure. For JJ, for 6A, you'd really got to look at Brownsville Rivera. Like I said, they're regionals finalists last year, and they knocked off Lee. They came close getting to the final, falling short against Dripping Springs. Also, another team to keep an eye on is Los Fresnos. They're the only team that beat Rivera in district play. So those probably top for 6A. 5A, you kind of pick your poison there, because you got, I mean, the surprise team out of the Valley for 5A is Donna North. Keep an eye on those guys. You know, I think, I don't know if they end up getting the number one seed, but they're going to be a very, very dangerous team. And they're going to be a matchup problem for some of the teams up here. Same thing with Porter. Porter's got the history with the state title. Same thing with Lopez. You also got Sherryland. Sherryland won the region last year. They knocked off a really good Leander Rouse team that was heavily favored. And also they knocked out Southwest also too. And then you also have La Jolla Juarez Lincoln. So you got to go about five or six teams that can really kind of do some downs there from the Valley. And then 4A, I think the two teams to keep an eye on is Progreso. They've had an excellent season. And I think one team that will, is the defending 4A state champs, is the Hollywood Pirates. So those are the top two teams there for the Valley.
For 4A. Donna North actually got third.
So they must have dropped the game.
They finished 13-3-2, 19-3-2 overall. In that district. But yeah, the Donna North Chiefs finished second for that here. Sorry,
did Porter win that district?
Well, no, they have T is third. Who won the district?
Yeah, it was either Porter or Lopez.
No, Lopez is one. Well, It's weird on how they have it, because the
yeah.
W32 is the winner. So W32 was Lopez. The standings don't kind of match. Donna North's third. T32, so third. And then Brownsville Porter at second, 32. They were 15-1-2 through their hair. So, and that's what was certified by 32-5A. But yeah, number one seed for that is Lopez. The Veterans Memorial is the final seed, but yeah, Donna North will place
San Juan Alamo.
Yeah, Far San Juan Alamo Memorial for that here.
Should win that game.
They'll play that, but then they get the winner of Juarez Lincoln and Victoria East. So that would be an interesting area match, which you can tune in.
Tune in.
Sunday at 4 to see how Rafa and Coach, I think Coach Cano will
and do. Steve for the boys, Steve, yeah.
We'll do that, and then I'll throw in which uniform looks the best. I'll be that guy for here. Moving on to 28 for the boys. Southwest Dragons, 14-0. Once again, Harlandale, 8-4. Legacy, 8-3-3. And Medina Valley, 7-4-3. Win, Southside, solid seasons. Medina Valley? Kind of slow, you know, off to a great start and then kind of stumbled down. Legacy the opposite, or I think they had a slower start and then came on late, and Harlandale and Southwest did what they did last year. And the question for Southwest and the question for Rafa, and this will be a question, you know, that I'm sure you'll address on Sunday at 4 o'clock. How real is Southwest?
I think it's going to come down to that second round game. You know, that's, you know, they were able to do it last year. They got to the regional semifinal, but then
either Rouse or Bernie Champion,
which, I'll save my picks there, but, as far as that Rouse Champion game, but you know, if they can get by those second and third round game, they're serious. Like I said, serious contender again. The key is like I said last year, I thought they should have beaten Sherryland, and I think they would have, you know, it would have been an interesting game with them against Rouse. You know, can they, you know, kind of build, you know, what they've had built so far? Can they, you know, not only get to back to the point they were, but also exceed it? And like I said, you got some, like I said, this is probably I think region four has so many contenders and, you know, so many scenarios that you can play. You know, you got maybe about probably six or seven teams that can probably represent this region. So, Harlandale, like I said, another great season for them. You know, they started out strong. I think for them, you know, maybe they, you know, they start, had, you know, had won a couple, a lot of great games. I think they, what they need to do maybe next year is maybe, you know, try to challenge themselves. Strength the schedule, get it, you know, get it going, play some tougher teams, kind of what Southwest is doing. I think that'll help them. What do you can say about Legacy? Good bounce back. You know, it kind of started slow, but they came back and they have played some very competitive games. And then Medina Valley, we thought Medina Valley was going to, you know, they start out very strong, and I don't know if injuries has caught up to them. Still a dangerous team. They got some great talent. Like I said, next year they'll be moving up to 6A. But I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting game between them and MacArthur.
And for those watching NCAA basketball, if you're a Kentucky fan, you have 3.9 seconds and you don't have the ball going against 14th seed Oakland. So my bracket – maybe busted, but it always gets busted. It just always does. Moving to 26 for the ladies. Piper 11-2-1. Smithson Valley 10-1-3. Canyon Cougarettes 10-3-1. Champion 10-3-1. And then, you know, Tyvee Veterans Memorial and fell off. But this one early on was a top four team race, and Piper came through and To me, Smithson Valley finishing second, somewhat of a surprise with only one loss.
Yeah, but, you know, they did lose some key players last year, but, you know, you got to give Coach Jason, you know, great job, you know, to still, you know, contend for a title even to the last game. You know, they needed to win that last game, but they tied with Piper, and that gave Piper the title there. You know, they made a great run last year. I think they can still make another run this year. You know, they could end up; those two teams can end up playing in a regional final. You know, we've seen it before from this district. You know, and then also Canyon and Bernie Champion. Some, you know, Bernie Champion started out slow, but they, you know, great showing here in district play. Same thing with Canyon. Like I said, they got some tough matchups with those 25-5A teams, you know, from the Austin area. But it's going to be some great games. And like I said, like I mentioned, next year is going to be even tougher when they add in a couple other teams, when they add Alamo Heights and Bernie. So, and New Braunfels too. So it's going to be interesting next year. But for right now, like I said, I you know, keep an eye on Piper. You know, can they, you know, advance a little bit further than what they did last year? Can they achieve more? You know, they're like I said, they're going to be a dangerous team. And so is, like I said, with Smithson Valley.
Moving on to 27 for the ladies. Heights, 48 points, perfect. MacArthur, 14-2, only two blip where it was to Alamo Heights. Edison, Jefferson sneaks in over the last over Highlands. For the final spot, and then Burbank, Brackenridge. But really, this one kind of came down to Alamo Heights, MacArthur, and Edison kind of leading the way. And then Jefferson, sneaked into the playoffs, I guess you could kind of say, out of that next bunch.
Yeah, like I said, the heavy favorite was Alamo Heights. And, you know, they ran the table. They're undefeated this season. I know, like I mentioned, 26, you know, 5A gets pretty much, you know, the recognition here, but Heights has got a great team. You know, they got some really talented forwards, a great midfield. They could surprise some teams, and wouldn't shock me if they end up in the regional semifinal or in the final or even in Georgetown too as well. So great talent there. And then what are you going to say about MacArthur? You know, great year for them. Coach Cano, you know, kudos to him. He's done a really great job there with the girls there at Mac. And, you know, they're looking for more. You know, I don't think they're satisfied, you know, finishing runner-up. I think they got a really tough one coming up in the first round, and we'll see how far they can go. But they got some great guidance with him. And then Edison, also great season for them too. Usually Edison's been the staple for one, you know, for this district as far as the playoffs. And then kind of the surprise is Jeff, you know, struggling this year. You know, normally they were usually in the top three teams in this district, but I think maybe graduation kind of hit them. But they were able to get in. They were actually able to fend off Highlands. Highlands was on their on their heels, but they're able to fend them off. And so now they have a date with Southwest in the first round. So we'll see how that goes.
For the ladies of Southwest or 28, Southwest Medina Valley 13-1, so co-district champions. McCollum 9-4-1, and then Legacy gets in over Southside by a squeaker, and they don't have 56 draws; they have 5 draws. I just noticed that. Come on, I sent this. Oh, no, I didn't send this one to you. No. Right here, 56 draws.
So, I think it was probably 5 draws.
5 draws.
I was going to say, like, you know, the surprise, you know, early in the season, you know, pretty much, you know, Southwest probably was going to pretty much run the table. Maybe they were going to be challenged, but never to, you know, was expected that Medina Valley would split the title with them, and they actually got a win on against them. But Southwest still got the top seed. So Medina Valley is going to give some problems, you know, in the playoffs, you know, and we'll see how they go. Southwest too. Now, can Southwest, you know, kind of emulate what the boys are doing? You know, they've dominated this district. Can they now, you know, like I said, they usually get a first round win, can they go beyond the second round and third and get to the regional, you know, reach the regional tournament? McCollum, they've done a great season for them too. Leto Resti has been their top scorer. I think the last game she scored 5 goals against, I think, Harlandale. So this is one pearl you're going to have to keep really mark on. And then Legacy, just able to sneak in and kind of fend off, you know, Southside here. And I've seen Legacy play. They're a little, good team, scrappy bunch. They're going to look in, give you some problems there if you take them lightly. So, but like I said, it's, they're ready to go.
Heights. That's the problem.
Yeah. And, I mean, but you can't that, go. But... Yeah, but you can't go get intimidated, right. You know, and you know, anything can happen. And if you can catch a team, you know, on their off night, you know, it could be here. Because as I say, if you lose, you're gone. That's it. Your season's over. So, but kudos to the teams that made the playoffs. And let's see what happens here in the next here in the first round.
And I will say before we move to 4A, the brackets, at least on our on the. District three, or region 3, region 4. 5A seems loaded. So, like I said here, that's not going to be a show you're going to want to miss to hear the debates about which team goes. Because there are a lot of nice matchups, even in the bi district round, where brackets could be busted and they're quality teams for that.
That's why you have 3 coaches with all that soccer knowledge, you know. That they're gonna kind of put their expertise on it, so it's gonna be fun. Like I said, I'm looking forward to see my little debates with Steve and Coach Cano on this.
Now moving to our Midnight Magic show here for 4A, which is gonna be Saturday night, Sunday morning at midnight here for 4A. But just looking at the standings here, this one was a fun one to follow. District 26, Davenport, Burney, 7-1-2, Wimberley, 6-2-2, and Canyon Lake, 5-5. But if you look at their season, 16-6 overall, just the you know, and even Fredericksburg at 5-8, a solid team for that here. But the top three are just such heavyweights, you know, in this district that. For 4A, will be interesting to see how far you guys send them down the path.
Yeah, this district came to the came down to the wire to the last game between Davenport, Burney, and Wimberley. They're all in contention for the district title, with Wimberley facing Burney and then Canyon Lake facing Davenport. Davenport was able to get a big win, kind of a revenge win too, because Canyon Lake beat them in the first go around. Which was kind of a surprise. And then Burney goes to Wimberley, gets a big win over there. So they end up splitting the district title, but because of the tiebreaker, you know, Davenport gets the number one seed. So like I said, they're going to go probably, you know, this is a district as far as the girls soccer for 4A region 4, these are your probably four of your 5 of 6 favorites. Davenport, like I said, you know, should have no problem. Same thing with Burney. Wimberley, you know, I know they got a tough matchup. Canyon Lake, you know, they're going to have a tough matchup against Burnett. And Burnett just had a warm-up game against Salado, and they just lost to them 2-1. So, but, you know, could this one be your bracket buster? We'll get in a debate for that at midnight. So let's tune in. And, but, like I said, these you know, want to be surprised if these 4 teams end up facing each other again in the regional quarterfinals. So that'll be fun. It's going to be fun to watch.
Moving to Region 4, District 27, Lavernia 12-0, Gonzales 8-3-1, Kennedy 7-4-1, and Yoakum got the last spot 5-4-3. Lavernia was your favorite. Surprised about Gonzales and Yoakum making the playoffs, or?
Yeah, that, you know, I thought maybe Kennedy would get that runner-up, but like I said, they fell a game short. Got kudos to Gonzales, to Lady Apaches. Congratulations on making the playoffs. And also congratulations to Yoakum, very young program, to make the playoffs. You know, I saw their game against Kennedy a few weeks ago, that, you know, did the live stream for that, and that was a fun game there, and Kennedy able to get a win there. But, you know, like I said, Yoakum going in, we'll see how they do in the playoffs. You know, they, like I said, they got a tough matchup coming up. The big thing is can Lavernia, you know, get to, you know, I know 26 gets, you know, is getting the attention here, but Lavernia, like I said, can they, you know, make a run themselves, you know, and we'll see if they face one of these teams, like I said, in the second, like I said, Bernie or Davenport or Wimberley or maybe Kenton Lake in the second round. So we'll see how that goes.
Moving to 28, Pleasanton, 10-0-2, Uvalde, 10-1-1, Floresville, 8-3-1, and then Somerset sneaked in over Hondo. I was rooting you for you, Hondo, but unfortunately you finished one game out, or a half a game out, really, because they got a draw, you got a loss was the difference. But Pleasanton and Uvalde kind of ran this one here. Mm-hmm. Floresville, I know you kind of talked them up beginning of the year here, and I'm wondering if they maybe they're kind of a sleeper season, you know, sleeper team coming into the playoffs for that here. But your thoughts on 28?
Yeah, 28. Like I said, it was kind of, I thought there was three teams in contention, but it ended up coming down to two. It actually came down, I think, to course to the last game. Pleasanton able to win the district title by a point over Uvalde. But also kudos to Somerset. Coach Carranza, you can say formerly of Lavernia. It's like, I was sorry I wasn't able to make it on the game, you know, on Tuesday night. But they had a big win over Pearsall. That got them into the playoffs. And we'll see how, like I said, with his experience, see if they can lead the Lady Bulldogs, you know, maybe hopefully, you know, into the second round. But like I said, Pleasanton Uvalde, like I said, there could be some matchup problems, you know, in the playoffs, and we'll see how they, you know, how, if they can go deep as well.
26 boys, Bernie, Greyhounds running away with it. And then Fredericksburg got the third slot. Davenport got the fourth slot. Wimberley got the Wimberley got the second slot. Davenport got the third, and Wimberley got the fourth, all identical with 6-4 records. This one you had, we knew who the four teams were. We just didn't know the order, you know, 2-3-4. And to be honest with you, until they posted it, I wasn't sure, you know, how the chips had fell.
Yeah, I mean, this was pretty much the Bernie Invitational on this one. And like I said, Coach Strong, he's got them ready, and I think this team's on a mission. I know they're on a looking at the brackets earlier on. They're on a collision course with Hidalgo, and you know, they're looking forward to that game, you know, in the regional semifinal, and they're gonna want some revenge from last year. But so, you know, they still can't look ahead yet. You know, they still have to take care of some business. So we'll see. Like I said, but Bernie's, you know, your favorite again for Region 4 and to get back to Georgetown and maybe even also get that title again, be the, you know, win three out of the last 4 years, which is going to be remarkable right there. Great season for Fredericksburg. You know, there weren't really, you know, there were a sleeper team. I think we had them maybe somewhere like contending for that fourth spot. It would have finished runner up. I already thought Davenport would finish second. Some struggles early on, but able to get in, and then Wimberley gets the last spot. You know, the surprise was a Canyon Lake. I thought maybe they contend for that fourth spot. Just, you know, not a good season for them. Hopefully they'll bounce back next year and maybe contend to get back into the playoffs. So, but like I said, you know, kudos, like I said, for all the four teams going to playoffs, and we'll see what happens here.
27, Lavernia got the double in 27. Memorial, Fox Tech, and Kennedy was a mix and match, and Gonzalez unfortunately just missed by a game on this one here. So this one, finding out who was going to get in with Lavernia, mm-hmm. came down to the last week for that.
Yeah, this, like I said, is pretty much last year. You know, if you remember, it was a battle between Memorial. I think Kennedy was in the mix, and Lavernia. We all thought maybe Lavernia was going to get it through, but Memorial was able to win it. But Lavernia's got it together. The question for them is, you know, the last few years, you know, they've fallen short early on.
In the early rounds, right?
First round. Yeah, the early, Yeah, in the first rounds, and can they overcome that? You know, those disappointments that they've had, and I think they have the team, they have the experience. You know, we'll see. And I think kind of looking a little bit of the, I think kind of the brackets, it kind of favors them a little bit. So, so it's kind of now or never for them. You know, for them, they're going to make a deep run. Memorial, another great season for them. You know, after what they did last year, kudos to Fox Tech. You know, they had a, I think I hear some hail coming down.
Oh, where you're at?
I think so. Hold on, give me 1 second, real quick.
I think it was supposed to be storming. Fox Tech 5-4-1, Kennedy 4-4-2.
Yeah. So if you're in Northwest San Antonio, it is hailing, so be on alert. You're near the Leon Valley area. Lotus, take alert. I guess I'm going to have to call my insurance tomorrow. but yeah, going back to this Fox Tech, great one. Like I said, I did their game against Kennedy, against Gonzalez, and they, you know, got that goal, you know, towards the end of the game, and they were able to, you know, win, you know, pretty much seal the deal for them to get that third spot. And then Kennedy, you know, able to hold off Gonzalez. Like I said, it was, you know, Gonzalez is a real talented team too. So, but Kennedy was able to get in. So these are the four, like I said, these four were going to represent 27-4A.
Yeah, this storm hits Helotes and above. So it doesn't, that's why I was like, yeah, I'm not hearing any rain, but yeah.
Yeah, I hear hail right now. So if you're in the Leon Valley, Helotes area, take cover. Cover your car.
Then it's going across 1604 towards Austin that way. So be prepared for that here. We are, you know, weather, sports, we're just everything.
Everything
28 boys. Floresville 11-1, Uvalde 9-3, Pleasanton and Somerset 8-4 each. So like I said, your quality seasons, by all four of the playoff teams, and then Hondo, Poteet, and Pearsall still got some, you know, some growth to do. You know, all three of those are very young programs here, but, Floresville put it together, has had a complete season from start to finish for that here. And, you know, come midnight on Saturday night, it'll be interesting to see how far that you have Floresville going, because I know you've talked about them pretty high this year.
Yeah, they, you know, since they've moved out from 5A to 4A, I think they've been very competitive. And actually, this district was, you know, wasn't finalized yet because they were still – I think the four teams were a game apart or two games apart, and everything kind of cleared out, and Floresville was able to kind of, like I said, fend off Uvalde and Pleasanton, and then Somerset able to get that. Somerset, you know, they started very slow in that non-district schedule, but they turned it up here in the district play, so kudos to them. And, you know, just kind of fell a little short of getting maybe a higher seed, but – and like I said, I think seriously, some teams, I mean, you know, can't take lightly. They're gonna compete, and you know, whoever them facing, you know, this upcoming, you know, the teams from 27, they're gonna be interesting matchups.
Yeah. So Floresville assuming that it's Floresville versus JFK, will be a very interesting one early next week here for that here, and tune in midnight to be able to see who gets selected on that. Now it's time for the pound for pound Power 15, Rafa. We'll start out with the ladies here. Dropped out Canyon Lake and Madison, 14-15. Any thoughts on either one of these that dropped out? District here.
They just kind of, like I said, they started out strong, and then towards the end they kind of faltered a little bit. But still, there's still two playoff teams. You know, if there was maybe a top 25, they'd be in the top 25. So, but you know, good luck to them in the playoffs, and who knows, we maybe see them back in it at the end of the season when we make the final RPIs.
So just missed Medina Valley and Steele, both still in the just missed category. Added Warren, Lavernia, and Pleasanton for that here. So Just a quick snapshot of these five teams, kind of what kept them out.
Yeah, like with Pleasanton, like I said, they won the district title. I think they're at 16-7-0. It's a great season for them. So contingent, like an honorable mention for them. Same thing with Lavernia. They were to win the district title. I know they struggled on early on, but they were to get things together. Steele, like I said, runner-up going into the playoffs. Like I said, all these teams are playoff teams. So, like I said, this, you know, it's tough. Like I said, a lot of the teams that we have on here are playoff teams or runner-ups. We also have, like I said, Medina Valley, district champ with Southwest. It's a great season for them. Same thing with Warren.
So moving to number 15, New Braunfels, champion of 20 district 27, 13-5-2, 9-1. Your thoughts on the Lady Unicorns at 15?
What are you going to say about them? They had a great season here for their district, able to go undefeated. First round matchup with Madison. We'll see what they can do. I think that'll be a great game between them.
14 down from 11, Canyon Cougarettes. 10-3-1 in district, finish up 15-4-2. Your thoughts on Canyon?
Canyon, another great season like last year. You know, last year they were in the mix. Same thing this season too, just a little short, but still a very dangerous team into the playoffs. I know they got a tough matchup coming up. So keep an eye on them. Like I said, we'll see what they do coming up.
Staying the same at 13, Coach Cano and MacArthur Brahmas. I don't understand why you stayed the same, but you know, we'll go to Rafa to kind of have that discussion of why he doesn't like Coach Cano.
what are you gonna say about, you know, the Lady Brahmas? You know, they great season for them. You know, after from like what last year, what they did, and I think they really, you know, they bought into the system, and you know, kudos, you know, looks like Coach Connell, he did a great job. He's got a great staff. And I think what you can tell, the players really, really play for him. They're very motivated and they enjoy it. You can see the smile on their faces. And don't take them lightly, you know, into the playoffs. You know, they may surprise some teams. So we'll see.
O'Connor at 12, same as last time we did it, 10-1-5. I believe runner up in, well, it should be 6A29, not 5A26. But your thoughts on O'Connor?
O'Connor, like I mentioned, they, you know, got two draws against Taft, who was the district champs. The only, like I said, the only loss was that loss that pretty much woke them up. And they got their sights set on making another deep run like they did last year. I think they're on a collision course with a team they lost earlier in the season, kind of the same scenario like last year. So stay tuned for that. Make sure you tune in on Sunday for that. You know, we'll talk about which team they're on the collision course with in round two.
Smithson Valley at 10, down one from the previous one at 10-1-3, 15-3-3 on the Lady Rangers.
Just like I said, great season for them. I know they lost some key players from last year, but to be in contention still for the district title shows the quality of program that they have, you know, just to be just a game short. But the thing is, they got that experience from they learned last year, and they're going to be able to, hopefully they can be able to utilize that and make a run. Like I said, they got a tough matchup first round, and we'll see what they can do coming here on out.
Number 10 from Taft, JP2, ninth, and then finished the year 10th at this point here. Obviously, I think they made it to the regional finals? State semifinal. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't make it to state because they lost to
They went to they played in Round Rock, so it's the state tournament there.
Well, no, Geneva did.
Yeah, that was the final, but they made it to the state tournament. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're state semifinalists. Like I said, they made it last year. They fell a game short of the title here, just a couple games short. They were able to win the district championship, you know, on that second game. And so, it really, like I mentioned, they was going to come down the district team, but what a great season, and we'll see what they do next year.
Southwest Dragons, the Lady Dragons, down two. Kind of surprising, 13-1, Before that, hear your thoughts on the Lady Dragons.
Another district title for them, but this is shared with Medina Valley. Like I mentioned earlier on with them, we'll see what they do. You know, I think they should have no problem with the first round game. Can they exceed expectations and get beyond that second round? Like I said, that's what I want to see. You know, can you start building, you know, kind of do what the boys are doing, make a run.
Reagan, from 5-8 to 13-2-1, 19-2-1 here for the Rattlers.
Yeah, that just, I mean, the two losses against Johnson, no shame on that. You know, like I said, Johnson's been one of the top teams not only in the region, but also in the state. Reagan, like I said, we'll see how they do in the playoffs, and still a great program, and, you know, can't take them lightly, and we'll see what they can do in these next few weeks.
So this one deserves a little bit more. Geneva School of Burney, state runner-up for Division III, TAPS Division III state championship finalist. 18-2-1, 7-0 in district. They did lose in PKs in the district tournament to JP2, but did beat them in the playoffs. They beat them convincingly. So congrats and thank you to Tap Soccer for the photo here. But your thoughts on the outstanding season for Geneva School of Burney?
Yeah, they really, like I said, I think is a season to remember for them, and see if they can use this as a foundation to really build that program, and hopefully next year get to that, you know, get back to this title and win it, you know. And I know they still are in that same district with JP2, so they're gonna have some epic battles. So hopefully I get a chance to see them out next season. And but keep an eye on them. See what they do up in 2024, 2025.
Burney Greyhounds up 2 was 8-6, 7-1-2, 17-1-2. I'm not sure what else we can say about Burney.
Yeah, I mean, the state semifinalists last year gave Salina a little a little wake up call, you know, and can they do it again? You know, and I know they split the title with Davenport, and, you know, even though Davenport got the first seed, you know, we could see them on the collision course again and the regional final this year.
Speaking of Davenport, up 1-6-5, 7-1-2. Your thoughts on the Lady Wolves?
I think there was some high expectations for them for what they did last year, and also the players that were coming back. Like I said, the only question mark is they had a coaching change. You know, was that gonna, you know, not say stop their progress? Was that gonna be a factor in coming in? But it wasn't. They were able to win the district title, get the number one seed. Now, can they win the region? And like I said, the pressure's on. You know, they have the target on their back, kind of what Burney had last year. Can they finish the story and go on to represent Region 4 in Georgetown?
Piper, the Piper Warriors, 14-0, 20-3. They went from just missed.
Is that the boys' record or the girls'? It might be the boys' record. I think that's the boys' record, yeah.
Oh, did I get it wrong?
Yeah, I think that's the boys' record.
That's the boys? Okay.
Yeah.
So, but you had them just missed to fourth, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you had them in fourth.
Let me pull up the...
Yeah, I had them at, I can tell really quick. Let me see here.
Oh, you had them at fifth. So, yeah. Piper and Davenport, they're 15-4-2. So... Yeah. A switch between Davenport and Piper. You had them fifth. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
They even ran it to you to double check it.
So might have slipped my mind on that one. But like I said, for either or, like I said, they're both district champs. And like I said, And I mean, you can really say that was a tie for four for, you know, kind of say, you know, that's how, you know, close that they were in the season. And we'll see how the girls do. Can, you know, can they go make the run? I think this is their opportunity to do so.
And then Taft, 17-0-4, kind of been stuck in third all year, 13-0-3. Well, I think you had them one at the very start, and then they had kind of a couple of draws. But they've been kind of that steady third team on your list behind the top two, which, you know, if you're paying attention, you know who the top two are.
Yeah, and then, you know, they had those two draws in the beginning of the district play, and we were a little surprised about that. And but they're, like I said, they were ever kind of get pieces together around the gauntlet. Now the back-to-back district titles for them. You know, like I said, they had a great run last year. Can they do it again? I know they were disappointed, you know, falling to the round, one of the Round Rock teams, and, you know, they're looking to see if they can get into that regional final.
Number two, Johnson, 21-1, 16-0. And then first is Alamo Heights, 22-0-1, 16-0. This might be an unfair question to you, but how close is Johnson to Alamo Heights?
It's just razor thin right there. I think it is because they have, like I said, you know, I know they have a loss, but like I said, you can't punish Alamo Heights, you know, it's a draw, you know, they're still undefeated. But like I said, both of them went undefeated in district play. But I think these are your two favorites, you know, for region four, for 6A and 5A, you know, that they can. Can they make the runs? That's the thing. Can you, you've done your part in the regular season and district play. Now here comes the second season. Can you do your thing here? And like I said, you're going to have a target on your back, and you know, the expectations are high, and we'll see how they do coming up. And we'll say, tune in on Sunday. So we'll make those picks.
And for UTSA fans, the women's basketball team did get its first win in a national postseason tournament with an 80-62 win over Northern Colorado in the first round of the WNIT. Per Stephen Whitaker, they'll play at Wyoming in the second round on Sunday afternoon at 2:00 Central Time. So congratulations to the UTSA women's basketball team for their first postseason or national postseason win for that here. So in like I said here. We just need to get the men's side up and running as well. So, talking about the pound for pound for the boys, we actually had a few of them drop out. Bernie Champion, Canyon, and Reagan all dropped out, 9, 11, and 13th for that here. Moving to the Just Missed, John Jay still in the Just Missed. Bernie Champion just missed for that here, so they dropped from there to the Just Missed. San Antonio Christian for Taps, Floresville, and Harlandale. So any thoughts on the Just Missed clubs here?
Like I said, all playoff teams, you know, we'll see what they do. Well, Floresville, you know, they have a district title. Like I said, great season. We'll see how far they can do it. But the other ones, you know, I know San Antonio Christian's a little disappointed on, you know, like an early exit. John Jay, you know, they started out well, and the last few games they've kind of, like I said, we were at the game against Taft, and then yesterday they a couple losses there, and they, you know, hopefully they can bounce back and get some momentum, because like I said, they got a tough matchup coming up. So, and like I said, well, we'll see what Harlandale can do in the playoffs, and same thing with Bernie Champion.
15 Steel, 6-2-3, 12-2-4. Your thoughts?
Another, like I mentioned, great season for Steel. Finished runner up. Like I said, they got a tough matchup coming up, they got Lee in Lisbon. Like I mentioned, they had to run the gauntlet, so they can't take them lightly. But that's going to be a great game. So if you have a chance, make sure you check out that game.
Clemens, 9-0-1, 12-8-1. I know they got off to the slow start. Being a champion at 14, Fair, yeah, unfair.
I mean, but still, you know, it's not how you start; it's how you finish. And like I said, they finished strong. And like I said, I know those eight losses kind of a little, and I'm saying penalizes you, but still, they were able to, like I said, work their way back up. And like I said, they're able to get into the top 15. And like I said, they they're going to be a team to be look out for. Could be a dark horse here, you know, in the playoffs.
Yeah, looking through here, the Kims has the radar on. There's huge storms that are still coming in, going through the Leon Valley, Helotes area here. So be careful. They got purple. I'm not sure what purple is, but I'm assuming it's higher than red. So you guys are on that line here. TMI at 13, 20-6, 9-3 for the Taps. Region 2, Division 4. Or District 4, pardon me.
Mm-hmm. So another good season for TMI. I know they're moving up in classification next year. See what they can do. We'll see what they can do, because they got some top challenges, because they got Central Catholic in that district. But, you know, just fell a little short on the playoffs. But like I said, we'll see what they'll be. Like I said, they'll be in the hunt next year in that district.
Warren at 12, 10-5-1, 17-5-1. I like Warren a lot. I think they're a good program. Mm-hmm. Just a tough team to play.
Yeah, they're a tough matchup. And if I'm Laredo United, you better not take them lightly. Yeah, and like I said, Warren, they got a great midfield, great forward. We'll see how they do next Tuesday. Like I said, we'll stay tuned. We'll see, like I said, next on this weekend on what picks we make with them. We'll see how far Warren goes.
Speaking of Northside 29, Brennan 11-2-2, 17-2-2. Just missed to 11th here. I think you're going to find out the top 10 is pretty tough to break. So your thoughts on the Bears?
I think the same thing with the Bears. No one was expecting them, you know, to be, you know, even though they made the playoffs last year, just the way they exited wasn't that great. Here, like I said, they kind of turned things around, and they had opportunities to win that district title, just kind of fell short. I think that loss against Taft really kind of hurt their chances there. But, you know, going in, you know, like I said, they have that second seed. Tough matchup also with Laredo United South. And I actually got to see United South play when I was guest on with KWMC. So shout out to them there in Del Rio. That's going to be a really good game there. So we'll keep an eye on the Bears.
Brandeis, 12-4-4, 11-2-3, District 28, another solid program, another solid year for Brandeis. To me, kind of a sleeper team to watch out when it comes to the playoffs. You know, not that I'm shuffling my things here.
Mm-hmm. I made a statement on Tuesday night. You know, that game against Reagan, and Reagan knew that they had at least tie or win that game. You know, Brandeis pretty much had the 2-seed locked in, but I think Brandeis fully understands, hey, you know, we need to get some momentum going into the playoffs. And they made a statement, you know, they got a 6-3 to win, basically knocked out Reagan out of the playoffs, and very dangerous. They're going to be very dangerous. I know last year they fell short against Stony Point. I think that they've learned from that loss, and I think they're ready to go. They're battle tested. I know this is Coach Mayer's last year, and I think they want to go out high. And when you know, go as deep as they can before he retires this season.
At 9, Alamo Heights. Last week 5, or last time 5, this time 9. 20-3, 14-2, runner up, surprisingly. And I'm assuming that's probably why they're at 9 and not higher.
Yeah, the loss against MacArthur, pretty much, like I said, you know, it dropped them down there. Like I said, those are the only two losses they had all season, was against Mac. And like I said, Mac ended up winning the district title. So, but still a great team. We'll see what Alamo Heights can do in the first round. And then we'll see what they can do beyond.
Speaking of MacArthur, 15-1, 18-5, up from 14-8. This is the team I won't, you know, would, you know, to tip my hand when it comes to bracketology. this is the one that I'll be interesting to kind of see how you guys weigh how far that MacArthur goes on the boys' side. And to be fair, on the girls' side as well here. I know Coach Connell won't be able to discuss the girls' side here, but for the boys, it'll be interesting to see how far that you get them through for that here. And Steve, you'll be on the call here for a great season so far from Mac. So we'll wait to see Steve's official selection and Rafa's official selection. But I know for me, it'll be interesting to see how far that you guys get them, as far as for the playoffs.
The playoffs, what can you say about Mac this year? Great season for them. I don't think anybody expected them to win the district title, and they ran through it. I know they had that one setback against Lanier. I think that was kind of a little controversial loss on that. Maybe they could have come out 16-0, but they didn't discourage them. They came, they bounced back, and they got two big wins over Alamo Heights, and they got the district title. And now can they make a run here in the playoffs? Like I said, I see them also as a dark horse. If they, there's a little collision course with another team from another district, and that's that. They're probably going to be in their district next year. I think that'll be a good, nice little third round matchup. So we'll talk about that in a bit.
Harlan stayed the same, 15-3-4, 13-0-3. Harlan's kind of like that team that's flown under the radar this year. Not the flashy, just very consistent. In even in the pound for pound rankings here, never has been high, but so I think they've been the 7, 8, 9 range all year on your pound for pound rankings.
Yeah, they haven't been too flashy, but maybe that's a good thing for them, flying on the radar. And I think going in, into these playoffs, I know they have to go through the valley, there might be some tough matchups there, just kind of a little preview there. I guess I'm not going to give any picks, but, kind of previewing there. They could have a really tough, second round matchup if they get by in the first round. And don't be surprised. Like I said, if they can kind of piece things, like I said, just play consistent. And that's the thing. They've been playing consistent. They can keep that consistency. I wouldn't be surprised that you see them playing at Comalander in the regional tournament.
Steve said Harley can make a good run along with Brandeis if they're on and dictate the game.
Yeah.
I think that applies to pretty much all of these teams. Johnson from 8-6, 15-4-4, 12-0-4. Your thoughts on Johnson?
What do you say about Johnson? The district title, undefeated district title too. So they're going in kind of pretty much riding high on this season. Now, can they, go far and go deep? I think that second round matchup, I think that'll test them, and we'll see. It's looking at their bracket where they're at. It's favorable for them. And this, if they're going to make a run to get to the regional tournament, this is the year for them. And I think the stars are kind of aligned for them, but, and this is just about consistency. They've been consistent. So can they have great goalkeeping, congrats to Andrew, shout out to him, signed with, committed to Furman. So congrats to him. And we'll see what they can do. And I want, like I said, just like Harlan, Ken Johnson also do and getting a sneak in and get into that regional tournament.
And this is why you want to tune in for all of our shows, Steve, not necessarily Harry. Some teams don't go after the win. They play for OT or PKs. So you can expect this type of banter, not, just in the chat, but live on air.
Like the park in the bus.
Lavernia, 23-2, 9-0-1, ranked fifth for that year. So to me, I think they are your highest
for it.
Lower league.
Well, one of them.
League, but, or actually, no, I stand corrected. There's another one. But as far as that's, to me, for Lavernia, they're not a powerhouse program that you would normally see this high from the, lower levels of UIL. So outstanding season, but it's time for them to put up.
Yeah, like I said, the last 3 years have really established themselves. They have a great program, but the thing is, they've fallen short 2 years in a row in the first round. Yeah. Is this the year that they get that monkey off their back and make a run? And can they challenge one of those teams from, maybe they run into like Bernie or Hidalgo, that can they challenge one of those teams or Marble Falls? So it's going to be interesting. We'll see how they do. Good luck to them. And like I said, but another district title here for the Bears.
Number four. Caps Division One state championship finalist, runner-up Central Catholic, came up short in the title game, but outstanding year by Central Catholic, 17-2, 10-0 in district. Probably a little bit disappointing end for them not being able to pull it out, but when you get to the title game, anything can happen.
Yeah, and, like I said, the second year in a row in the title game. I already thought, like I said, they were going to, kind of finish the job. And it started out well for them, but they gave up two goals. And I think what Steve was telling me that the other team was kind of started parking the bus a bit. And, once you get a lead,
that first goal matters. I hate to say that. If Central Catholic got it, I bet you they win. But, when especially in a title game, you get that first goal, I'm assuming the odds are pretty good that, that you advance,
but it's still a memorable season. Like I said, Coach Rule got his runner up again. Coach Rule got his 500th win, his win, and we'll see how they what they can do next year. Can they build upon this and get and get over the hump, get back to the title game, and actually win the championship? Your microphone's off.
I hit the wrong thing. Number three, Southwest Dragons. Another year where they're ranked high. They got past, for the playoffs here, they got past with the first round last year. I think even past
the regional semifinal. Yeah, they made 3D.
But in order to retain this, I think the expectations for them to go a little bit further this year in order to retain a top five position in the pound for pound final rankings. But, Rafa, you can make that decision, but your thoughts on Southwest the upcoming run that they're going to be going on?
Yeah, so they, like I said, for them, they had a great season last year. They made a great run, just fell short against Sherryland, and kind of looking, for them, can they kind of build upon, what they've done this season. Like I said, another special season for them. Like I said, they haven't lost a district game in 76 games. First round, they're going to be heavily favored. Second round game, they could see a challenge. And also the third round, some challenge there, maybe a winnable game. And, kind of looking there, there's a couple arch nemesis from the Valley in their quadrant. In the playoffs, they've seen it, and they've seen Sherryland in there, and they will probably want another game with them. But then there's also Lopez is there too. So, it'll be a great season if they can get to the regional final, and we'll see what happens there. And maybe who knows, they can get to the state tournament.
Number two, Piper, 20-3, 14-0. I'm not sure what else you can say about Piper, outside of all the praise that we've been giving them all year, which they've deserved.
Yeah, Piper's, like I said, great season for them. And, what else can they say? They're also a favorite too. And wouldn't it be nice to have them versus Southwest in the final, in the regional final. But they do have some challenges up ahead, especially maybe probably a dream at maybe pound for pound game in the third round, which will, like I said, we're going to save a lot of this discussions on Sunday. They're in a collision course with probably one of the best teams in the state. You know, I'm not saying that Piper isn't one of them, but, you know, so far that team has really kind of done a number this year. So, well, but we're hoping, like I said, we can see Southwest versus Piper in the regional final.
And then number one all year, Bernie. So the question is not so much with them, but how close is Piper to Bernie in your rankings?
They're near there, but what can you say about Bernie? They've been the gold standard when it comes to the programs here. They've been to the state. They've won back-to-back state titles. They fell a game short last year to getting back to Georgetown, which I honestly thought they were going to get the three-peat. This year, I think they're on a mission, and I know who they have their sights set on, and they may end up clashing in that regional semifinal game a little game earlier, and I'm sure Coach Ron's going to have them mentally ready to go. Like I said, they don't take anybody lightly. They just go in there and they take care of business, you know, and that's what this Bernie program's done this last four years. And for their last little hurrah here in 4A, can they get back to the on top of the hill and reign supreme again here in 4A?
Well, Rafa, we got one more pound for pound, which will be about 3 weeks, 4 weeks after the playoffs. We've got the Bracketology shows that kick off Saturday at midnight or Sunday at midnight, whichever one that you want to classify it. And then you got the two shows on Sunday at the 4 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And then we'll also be doing the SAFC fan cast at around 8-ish for that here. So you and I'll be doing triple duty that day. And then I think we're going to try to do shows after the round. So I think it'll be next Wednesday, possibly.
Possibly some small recaps, nothing too much.
Through there just to kind of go over the upcoming matchups for the area round for that here. So I know Mexico is about ready to kick off or has kicked off. I think they have kicked off
here. Yeah, they have.
Over to an U.S. Open Cup match that was an extra time, but it's through there. The U.S. won. Kentucky's lost, so your bracket's already busted if you had Kentucky in the bracket. Final thoughts or anything else you want to do before you get out of here and go watch some Mexico win or lose tonight?
They almost scored right now. Machin almost got one in. So just final thought, like I said, for everyone that's watching, you know, tell a friend, make sure you follow us. If it's the podcast, like us on, follow us on X. We're on Facebook only, so you can also like us on Facebook, and then we're also on Twitch and YouTube. So make sure you follow us, tune in, watch, see what picks we make, and also send your comments in. What do you think about our picks between me, Steve, Coach Cotto, and Harry? Nice little debates here, which teams are going, facing each other. So like I mentioned, some interesting matchups. Like I said, we're gonna start off with 4A at midnight, like our Midnight Madness with 4A boys and girls. And then Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we're going to have the 5A boys and girls, and at 6, we'll have 6A. So tune in. So if you're not following, make sure follow us. Like I said, we'll be on here, and we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun, this is kind of our tradition now, I think this is, we're the only ones that does this live, and we're not afraid to make these picks. We don't have to hide behind anything. And
some look good, some don't.
Yeah, sometimes we get them right, sometimes we don't. I'm kind of hoping, because I did get 80% from the taps, so I did get some state champs on the taps, so that's a good sign there. So hopefully I can continue that
momentum. If you get 80%, I'll be impressed, just because, these games are close.
Yeah.
And there's always, I guess there's the club versus high school playoffs issue, because there's the North Dallas Cup or the Dallas Cup?
The Dallas Cup coming up, yeah.
That plays a part that does through there. The other thing here, one of the powerhouses from Fort Worth had their
Frisco
Heritage had their appeal to for using an ineligible player denied. So they will be out. So we'll see how that kind of comes into play, you know, because the Frisco schools are off. But yeah, please just, you know, follow the 50-50 podcast. They have do a lot of great things, especially if you are in the coaching business of high schools or want to get into the coaching positions. They do highlight possible openings around the area. Coach Connor does a lot of great things. If you're looking to possibly go to college, they'll typically have college coaches on there, and the discussions are great, kind of, you know, not only about their programs, but what they look for along those lines here. And Coach Connor and his team that he has behind him do a great job. I know we focus quite a bit more on the high school side here locally here in San Antonio, but Rafa with his travels has seen matches pretty much from Killeen, Waco area down all the way down to the border, all the way out to Del Rio and through there. I don't know if you saw any West Texas or Houston or along those lines here, but
I can tell you this. The best team I've seen, and this is not a knock on anything, is that Pflugerville Conley team, that boys team. I mean, I was impressed. I mean, you know, and I've seen a lot of teams play over the years, you know, being in coaching and so forth. Technical wise, they have to be one of the favorites. You know, I know they made it to the final last year and just fell short against that Lone Star team. But this team, this is a special team, and if they can get it to, we'll talk about more of that, but they're going to have some possible roadblocks. But like I said, that's probably one of the best teams I've seen as far as, you know, talent-wise. But there's also, like I said, you never know what can happen. And, you know, when we analyze these games and, you know, using my coaching background and all that and seeing what, you know, looking at the schedules, who they played, the common opponents and stuff like that, you know, that those come into factor and all that. And that's kind of how we make our picks and so forth. So, but I'm looking forward to it. And like I said, also for the players out there, you know, watching, you know, for recruitment, you know, so yeah, make sure you watch the 50-50 podcast. Like I said, a lot of expertise there, you know, talking to all the college coaches there, you know, Coach Kyle, who he features as well each week. But we're looking forward to this. It's like I said, it's the second season. So everyone's 0-0, and we'll see who's going to be lifting that trophy in a few weeks in Georgetown.
Oh, whose kid that got just goalkeeper? Was it goalkeeper? Not Doc's son, Furman.
Yeah, that was Doc. Yeah, Doc's. Yeah, Andrew.
So congratulations to Andrew accepting. I think he got a scholarship or something, but he signed.
He committed to Furman.
The Furman. Sorry, I forgot. I just remembered I wanted to mention it for that here. One final question here. You know, so that way we don't have to get into it too much here. What'd you think about the Heritage case for it here, where basically it was an ineligible player, paperwork wasn't filled out correctly, got approvals. But then, of course, when it comes to the playoffs, you know, that information gets looked at a little bit closer. And, you know, they made the determination. For me personally, the story doesn't necessarily match everything, because, you know, if they were missing information, generally speaking, people catch that. And like I said here, I know there's many different levels when it comes to approvals, you know, for that here. So to me, I feel bad about the kids. I feel bad about the coaches. But I don't know if the paperwork wasn't approved properly. I don't know how you justify either case you know, for that here. So I'm not sure there's a right or wrong answer, you know, because there has to be some sort of punishment if you did use a kid that wasn't approved for that here. But your thoughts, Rafa, especially with your background. I know you've done the high school coaching, so you probably have a little bit better idea of paperwork that is involved and kind of what goes through with that.
Yeah. Before I get my thoughts, I also want to give congratulations to Delamu Reeves from John Jay on his commitment to West Texas A&M too. Congratulations to him. Mechanical engineering. Good luck on that. And
his dad coaches AJ. I didn't want to say that just because, you know, through there, but I do know that Doc's.
I'll get to say that. But as far as the Heritage Cage, you know, what surprises me is that you know, it's a Frisco ISD district, you know, district 10, that, you know, for them to allow him to play and then the turnaround say, well, you know, he's ineligible. That should have been flagged right away. If there was from what I know a little bit of it, as far as like there was missing information, you know, that should have been caught on early on, right before the start of the season, you know, and they could have fixed all of that. And then, you know, I feel, you know, like I mentioned, I feel bad for the players, all that hard work to get to that point and then to turn around and say, oh, I'm sorry, you have to forfeit all these games, especially for those that are seniors. You know, that just kind of went down the drain, and you kind of have to point the finger there at, you know, kind of Frisco ISD for not, and that, you know, not catching that right away. But, you know, sometimes, you know, these things happen, and not only in soccer, but also it's happened in football and other sports. So, so hopefully they'll learn from this and maybe find a better system so that way it prevents things like these happening. That way teams don't have to forfeit. I understand there's these situations about the recruitment of players from teams to playing, going to magnet schools or whatever, or to get them to play in this district and so forth. As long as, like you said, we can do the proper paperwork, that way they can play and so forth. As long as they follow the rules, then it's like I said, we won't have these issues.
Well, I think that's going to wrap us up. We did our 90, and we're going to be back. Less than 48, well, I guess, 48 hours plus to 24, 48.
Somewhere around there.
51-ish hours for the Bracketology 4A style at midnight. It'll be interesting to see how that kind of works out. I'm kind of excited to do kind of a special show for the 4A schools. We're going to be doing boys and girls together. It'll, you know, so the classifications will be easy to follow. If you're not up at midnight or if you're out doing other stuff, it will be on YouTube. It will be on Facebook. It will be on Twitch that you can watch the replay. And I think actually you can watch the replay on it as well. So you'll be able to do it. We'll also download it to Spotify and through there. So if you want to listen to the podcast version of it, you can. Spotify, we do the video. So, you know, if you want to follow with the video, you can. But like I said, thank you for everybody tuning in. If you can, please hit the like button. If you can subscribe. And like I said here, what's life without goals? We're out of here, and we'll see you in 2 days.